Hey, man, you feel me? You see my makeup all done wrong. You feel me? I got my, you feel me? But we was back, man. Me and Lib out there, strap session, the whole secondary. Marcus, JJ got on the board. You feel me? You seen Jerry. You seen B. Cooks. You seen Cooper Cup. You seen that O-line blocking for TG. You seen TG getting the zone. Hey, we on live.
Big live, big straps. I don't think they wide outs had a catch.
Oh, mama. So, man, just holler at us, man. We out here, L.A. Rams. We did it. 1-0.
Touchdown, Los Angeles.
Locked on Rams.
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. It's the Wednesday edition of Locked On Rams, and I gotta thank my man Marcus Peters for opening up the show with the swag. Come on, y'all, how do you not love that? This defense went out and did its job, and he was hype after the game, and I love that. As it is the Wednesday edition, that means it's crossover edition of Locked On Rams. I've got Alex and Bo Brock from Locked On Cardinals. We had a chat earlier today. I'm actually recording this on Wednesday and posting, so for you guys that listen to it in your morning drive, I apologize. This is the one I actually had to record on the day, so I'm finishing up now. I should have this up here hopefully before noon LA time, so the rest of you guys, hopefully you get this for your drive home. I appreciate you listening. As always, remember, go give us a follow, subscribe, Locked On Rams, Spotify, iTunes, you name it. We are there. Go download, share it with your friends. Don't be shy. Get Rams Nation involved, man. We're going to have an awesome season of content for you guys. Also, be sure to check us out online everywhere. Instagram and Twitter, Locked On Rams, LA _ Rambling Bear. And then Facebook, man, I'm up there. We're interacting. We got a Facebook page. We got a Facebook group. Pets, heads are falling off. That's a little old school Jim Carrey for you guys. While we are sitting here talking Facebook, I got to give some shout outs to some people that have been interacting. Bunch of fun. Richie Starks, big shout out to him. He's been a huge supporter of the show since the beginning. He's been interacting on Facebook. So Richie, big shout out. Thanks for all the love, my man. We're going to continue to put up content on Facebook for you guys to interact with. Also, got to give a shout out overseas, Bondi Williams, and I may be mispronouncing that. It's B-H-O-O-N-D-I, listening every day from Australia. I got to hit him with the Aussie, 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 Rams, Rams, Rams. That's the remix, baby. So big ups to Australia in the house listening. Have to say thank you so much to you two coming out the gate, interacting right away. And Francisco as well, listening in from Arlington, Virginia. Guys, I love it. Nation. The nation is strong and we are all over the place. It's not just here in LA. So we appreciate your support all around the country and other countries. So I'll continue to give you guys shout outs. So, you know, hit me up. Let me know where you're listening from. Let me know your thoughts or questions and I'll make sure to get you on the podcast here. Well, guys, before I get out of here and get into the interview, don't forget we've got amazing things happening on the network here, Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Locked On NFL podcasts continue to grow. They're getting amazing guys from ESPN and former players. And so you got to go check it out. It's with Matt Williamson. We're going to have him on the show some point in the next couple weeks. He's always a great guest for us, knows his football, has great football conversation. And then our Locked On Fantasy Football with Vinny Lyer, we've had him on the show as well. If you need some insight, if you're 0-1 going into week 2 in your fantasy team, so go check and figure out who you need to pick up on the waiver wire, who to start, who to sit. He's always got great content weekly as well, so go check that out. And then the college guys, I've been telling you about it for a while. We're continuing to add them. I'm trying to get some West Coast teams out here for you guys. But give it a look. We've got Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Baylor, Penn State, Oregon, BYU, Michigan, Ohio State, already going and hopefully adding more very soon. So go check it out. Tomorrow, we got Vinny Bonsignor. He's going to be a regular guest. We're going to have a great conversation with him. I'm going to pick his brain about what's going on close to the team, how they feel about that week one victory, how they're getting ready on a short week for the Cardinals matchup and the injuries we have going on. So be on a lookout for that tomorrow as well. Well, we had a long conversation with the boys from Locked On Cardinals, Alex and Bo Brock. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kick it over. We're going to take a quick word from a sponsor, and then we'll be back with Locked On Rams crossed over with Locked On Cardinals.
Wednesday, so that means it's time for Crossover. Alex Clancy here, Bo Brock. I sounded like a 80s game show host right there. We have Brad Mader from the Locked On Rams podcast joining us here, and I guess we're joining each other ahead of the Rams-Cardinals game this Sunday. And, Brad, I just want to start off this by you know, exuding how jealous I am of the situation you're in as opposed to the situation that Bo Brock and I are in here in Phoenix.
Well, it wasn't too long ago that Rams Nation was behind the eight ball like you guys seem to be right now, drafting a young quarterback early in the draft. Obviously, we traded up a lot to go get Jared Goff at number one. You guys have yet to see, you know, your draft choice, and that's going to be something I'd like to kind of pick your brain on and when you think that's going to be. But, yeah, the Rams are finally in a good position. You know, a lot of talk about Jared Goff being a bust under the, you know, Jeff Fisher regime. In comes Sean McVay, and, man, our world has flipped upside down. And you're right. I've been doing podcasts for the Rams now for about 3.5 years, and it feels good, man. That first season was tough doing it, but here we are finally paying off, and hopefully can put something great together.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looked at as a pessimistic person. My viewers, I get reached out to on Twitter and stuff. Man, why are you negative all the time? Look at what the product we have is. I mean, look at what the Rams had, a polar opposite offseason than the Cardinals. The Cardinals did pretty much absolutely nothing, and the Rams brought every good player from every other team and gave them a Rams jersey, it seems like.
Yeah, you're right, and we really tried to go out there and get, you know, Khalil Mack as well. I mean, there were reports coming out that we offered a first and a third, but they just didn't like where our first was probably going to end up, and then the Bears came with that insane offer. But you're right, and, you know, that's kind of my question is, you know, how much really, you know, just drafting Rosen, how much kind of noise did it create as far as some excitement, and then how far does that really go until you go and see, you know, week one and you guys get blown out at home and, you know, Bradford goes 20 of 34 with 145 yards and interception. How long does it before we start calling for Rosen?
I mean, they were doing it in the stands about by the third quarter, Brad. When you look at Bradford's numbers, too, they don't really tell the true story what happened on Sunday. Wasn't this person even his statistics even prove? And, yeah, I mean, when you go back to the date that Josh Rosen was traded up for and drafted 10th overall, it's the first time that the Cardinals had selected the first-round quarterback since Matt Leinart. We all know who that went. But, I mean, obviously people are very excited about it. I think that they wanted to temper their expectations and when they were going to see Rosen. But I think that Sunday really accelerated everybody's plan. It is interesting because the Rams, the Eagles, all those teams that went up, they've traded, they kind of paid a king's ransom for a quarterback. They set up the blueprint, though, going forward, and the Rams were able to go out and make any move possible that they wanted this offseason because they were paying, you know, relatively peanuts for the quarterback position because they drafted Jared Goff in the first round. I mean, he's not making that much money. It just freed up so much salary cap. So we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to not paying a quarterback $20-plus million a season.
Especially one that has no ACLs and can't get off the ground. So, I mean, but to answer your question, bro, I mean, me, I'm kind of in the minority here. I don't want to see Josh Rosen yet. I think that this mold that we've grown accustomed to that Bill mentioned, where you just throw these guys out to the wolves immediately, especially with a team that has, you know, no real weapons on offense aside from David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, it's kind of setting Josh Rosen up for failure. I see it as like a David Kirk situation with the defense. I mean, the offensive line isn't as bad as the inaugural Houston Texans offensive line that, I mean, he got like 9 times a game, it seemed like. But I don't think Josh Rosen is mentally ready. He doesn't know the NFL game well enough yet to start. And I'm okay taking the lumps with somebody. That's what you paid Sam Bradford to do. You pay him $20 million to lead a bad team through a season. So Josh Rosen can learn the playbook. He can hold the clipboard, be humbled a little bit from, you know, his mouth is too big for his body right now with the things he's been saying in the offseason. So I think it's time for him to relax, sit, and watch. Look at all the mistakes that are being made so he doesn't make them when he becomes quarterback eventually.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, really it comes down to, can Bradford stay healthy for him? I think that's going to be key. And, you know, coming into this game, We didn't see ton of pressure coming from the Rams' defensive line, but that's because Derek Carr was getting the ball out in 2.2 seconds. I don't know if Bradford, coming off of that, you know, poor performance in week one, if you know, obviously that's going to be a huge focal point for them this week, is really kind of watching that tape and being like, hey, if you want to survive this season and survive through game two, you got to get the ball out fast. It helps, obviously, when you have a run game. You talked about the return of, you know, David Johnson. A lot of people had him going number one in the fantasy leagues, if not top three. He came out nothing too exciting. I guess it's probably tough to get a run game going when, you know, you can't have a passing game and you're kind of one-dimensional. He did end up with a touchdown, you know, kind of that pity touchdown at the end, but I'm sure everyone will take it there. What's kind of the expectations for him? Obviously coming against the Rams defense, who, you know, struggled against the run last year, didn't do too great at the beginning of the game against Beast Mode. They kind of tempered that running attack in the second half. But, you know, how do you see him getting off in this game?
Yeah, that's the interesting question, because Steve Wilks, since his hiring, said that this was going to be a run-first team. They were going to set the tone with their run game. And they completely got away from it in their first game. They abandoned their game plan. It'll be interesting to see how things play out on Sunday. But absolutely, like the Rams, there's a running back now in their locker room that just signed a big money deal. You got to expect that the Arizona Cardinals, following a dud of an offensive performance, are going to lie very heavily on David Johnson, and they're probably going to have to get away from the run game this time around. Don't you think, Al?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because, I mean, I am assuming you didn't look closely as we did, Zier Brad Mader. Follow him at LA _ Rambling Bear. That's you know what? All right, I'll take it. Honey, Twitter handle. Follow Bob Rock at Bob Rack. Follow me at Clancy's Corner on Twitter. When, with a new head coach, you only have seven minutes of offensive possession in the first half of his inaugural game, you know things are going to change. And any head coach that gives the ball to a superstar too much will never get crap for giving the ball to a superstar too much. So, Bo's right. Two handle the time of possession better than they did last week, David Johnson will be getting a lot of touches, whether it be swing passes and little outs from out of the backfield or him running up the gut. He will get the ball 30 times or more against the Rams, regardless of score, in my opinion, just to right the ship and get everybody on track. Like, hey, if we have the ball, the other team doesn't, which means it's more difficult for them to score. I know that sounds dumb, but I wish I could have gone to Steve Wilks and told him that on Sunday against Washington.
Yeah, it's interesting, Brad, because when you look at these two styles, it's completely two contrasting styles of offensive game planning. And I'd be interested to hear your thoughts and what everybody's kind of feeling and thinking around the Rams organization, because it seems to be everything is roses right now. But you've got Sean McVay. You've got, you know, just the cutting-edge, innovative offense. And then we've got the Cardinals just going to a foregone era of offensive play calling. It's just they want to set up the run where everything is kind of pass-heavy with the Rams. Is there anybody calling for Sean McVay to kind of go back on some old-school principles? I wouldn't think so, but is there any old-school football fans out there?
You know what? Not so much, I think, the old-school, you know, mentality of football calling plays. But you talked about it with David Johnson and, you know, him getting 30 touches. He's got to get that. No one's going to complain about getting the superstar of the ball. I think the big complaint in the first game was Todd Gurley had like two or three touches by halftime. And it was like, you know, we weren't moving the football. We only had the ball for 8 minutes, but that's because we're out here gunning the ball down the field. Jared Goff was just off on a few of those deep passes. You know, our best offense in the first half was really on penalties from Oakland. So I think really for the critique of Sean McVay's play calling is two things. One is get the ball to your superstar right away. Like you said, no one over here is going to complain if Todd Gurley touches the ball 30 times or David Johnson touches the ball 30 times. If you lose, you lost in the hands of your superstar, right? And then two, Sean McVay took his own, you know, he kind of owned up to it himself here and said he's got to do better in the red zone. I think we were like 2 of 5 in the red zone and just didn't seem to really click once we got there. We moved the ball, it seemed like,
what's
down
the
field.
Zone? Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Yo, at least you got there. We're going to cut you on. At least you got there.
No,
all
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Brad, you got the temper. You have the temper right now. It's a very gentle situation here.
Yeah, well,
okay, we're Division 1A school.
All right, just relax on it.
It is funny, though, because, man, a couple years ago, expectations over here were very similar to what you guys are talking. And, man, you have the off season that we did. They have gone through the roof. I mean, I'm sure, obviously, national topic has been, are the Rams good enough to go to the Super Bowl? But here in L.A., man, it's like, it's almost a foregone conclusion. You know, everyone's like, look at our team, man. How do we not go undefeated? So, man, tempering that you know, expectations over here has been interesting. Even in the first game, we won by 20 points, and you should have seen Twitter in the Rams Nation world, you know, critiquing Goff and, you know, critiquing our linebacking core. And it's like, we won by 20. You know, a couple of years ago, we would have loved to just put 20 points on the board, not alone win by 20. So you're right. Expectations, it's crazy how they change so fast. Guys, I want to get a couple more questions on the other side. Before we do it, we're going to talk about MyBookie. We've been talking about them here on Locked On for forever. They're an awesome site. If you guys aren't using it, go check it out, mybookie.ag. Use the promo code Locked On. They're going to match your first deposit hand for hand. It's where I go to do all my betting. I love it because they have live in-game betting. They pay out super fast. It's just the best place to bet. Not only who are you betting, but where are you betting is the most important. MyBookie.ag, check it out. So what we do on the crossover edition, guys, and I want to, you know, bring you in on this. I'm going to pick a couple games. I'm going to tell you what the spread is on MyBookie. And then just real quick, we're going to run through it and take a pick, really. We're going to place our bet here on the podcast. So I'll start with an interesting one. We've got the Cleveland Browns, which, wow, that's an interesting one. I can't believe I'm saying that. Cleveland Browns on the road. They're going to face the New Orleans Saints, who gave up, what, 9 million points, it felt like, to Tampa Bay. The Saints are a 10-point favorite in this, so minus 10 for the Saints. What do you guys got? Cleveland on the road, getting 10 points in New Orleans.
That's a big number, Brad. I mean, you got to think that the Saints are just furious, pissed off in their performance against Fitzmagic and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Nobody saw that coming. You got to think that Drew Brees, that offense, I mean, they looked well-oiled, as they should have, and as expected, but that defense, they got to make a statement. Can they slow down that Cleveland team? Is Cleveland the only team ever with momentum built off of a tie?
Right.
I mean, you got to take that into consideration, but man, 10 points is a lot. I got to take Cleveland. I got to take them at plus 10.
Yeah, likewise. With Tyrod Taylor, with the, how they manage.
I'm sorry, Tyrod.
I'm going to call him Tyrod. I don't even know what Terrell Owens wants, Terrell or Terrell. I think it's Terrell. I'm going to take Cleveland as well. I'll take the points. They're Tyrod Taylor, Tyrod, yeah. Being just, you know, he has running in his arsenal, so you can eat up clock that way a little bit better than if not. So I'm taking Cleveland. I believe my eyes are starried. I picked them to win 7 games this year, and I think that this is going to be one of them. I think they'll win this game outright, but I will take the points.
I'm hoping for an 0-0-16 year from the Browns. I think that would be fantastic.
I'm sure they'd be happy. Yeah, I'm sure they'd be happy with that too.
Second in that division. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna take Cleveland plus 10 here. Also, I think you're right. I watched Hard Knocks. I'm in on them. They tied with Pittsburgh at home. New Orleans Saints D looked horrible. I know Fitzmagic, which, by the way, I love that nickname there. I don't know how long that really is going to last, or if that's just really New Orleans Saints defense just being horrible. I'm going to take the Browns in this. 10 points, you're right, is a lot. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to put money down there on my bookie, Cleveland plus 10. Okay, so kind of looking at another one. Here's a fun one. New England Patriots go on the road to the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is kind of that repeat AFC matchup here that we saw late in the season that was to go to the Super Bowl. Jacksonville is the underdog at home. They're getting 3 points. What are your guys' thoughts on this game?
Is it a revenge game? I mean, you got to think so, right? And I love home dogs. The Patriots, they looked really good against the Houston Texans last week. That defense seemed like it was rejuvenated a little bit after last year kind of finishing a dud in the Super Bowl. It all comes down to the run game, right? Can Leonard Fournette, can he be healthy enough to really set the tone that he did early on in the AFC Championship game last year? It's tough. I hate to go against the Patriots, but I'll take the home dogs in the Jacksonville Jaguars. Why am I betting on Blake Bortles? But I am. Bo, silly Bo. there's nobody that likes revenge games that they won the previous one more than the Patriots. Tom Brady has been shunned by his head coach. All he's going to do is prove to everybody that he is the greatest of all time, GOAT,
I don't know if you knew that. That's what people say the GOAT. I think that they're going to win by a nice margin in Jacksonville.
Jalen Ramsey is going to chew up Phil Dorsett and spit him out.
Well, unfortunately, that's the only wide receiver the Patriots have. No, they went. So they signed Corey Coleman and whoever else. Oh, and
Benny Fowler is going to make a big
Benny
impact.
Fowler, listen. Patriots will win handily. I will give the points and take the Patriots.
All right, man. So I'm the tiebreaker here. And, you know, I think I got to go with the home dog. I love it, too. +3, I think Jacksonville's defense is a lot different than Houston's defense. In a weird way, you think Houston's defense was going to be a lot better. They let Tom Brady kind of eat him up. But that is kind of what the GOAT does, right? He can eat up those defenses. So it's going to be a tough one. But I think I'm going to take the dog here because I do believe in that run game. I think they're going to control the ball at home. I think Tom Brady's going to have to end up making those plays with some wide receivers that, you know, we're all scratching our head with right now. He's done it in years past, but I think that secondary is just too tough compared to what they just faced. I'm going to take Jacksonville in this one as well. So moving on, our last one, you know what it is, guys. We've got the Los Angeles Rams at home versus the Arizona Cardinals. This is a 13-point spread. Cardinals are getting 13 here in the Coliseum. Thoughts on this game? Break it down.
Yeah, just like that Browns-Saints, it's such a big number. I mean, as bad as the Cardinals were on opening day, they were able to cut into that lead a little bit just with one score alone. It was a 24-6. I don't think that indicated how bad of a beating it was. And I think the same could be said for the upcoming game. I certainly believe that the Rams are going to dominate this contest, but having nearly a 2-touchdown and a PAT spread, I just it's such a large number as far as somebody who likes to throw the shekels around. It scares me. I get just like physically shaken by this. So I am going to take the Cardinals in the points, but if we're looking at money line, I don't even think it's close. I mean, the Cardinals are going to get dominated, and pretty much that defense just scares me as far as Sam Bradford going out there for his physical well-being. He might have a limb or two ripped off.
Yeah, and
is that a spread?
Is spreading away from the rest of his body? I mean, I guess you'd call that a spread. I'm going to take the points, too. It's an interdivisional rivalry. We used this when the Rams were bad, this same idea that it's divisional rivalry. They're ugly. I don't think it's going to be a 40-0 game. The Cardinals' defense is a lot better than advertised after week one. And I think that if they don't cover, I mean, there's way more trouble in River City than we think there already is. So I'm going to take the 13 and good riddance if it's 14 or more.
And just looking at last year, I mean, you had the international incident that happened in London where it was, 33-0? And in the last contest between these two teams, it was 32-16. So 16 points was the closest they came last year. Brad, it'd be interesting to see if you think that the Rams have improved to where they can keep that the Cardinals can't chip away at that point margin.
No, great points, by the way, bringing up past history there. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go with the no-brainer on my side is I'm going to take the Rams -13, and here's why. I think it's going to be a little bit closer, as you mentioned. I think it's going to be a 10-point game maybe going into the fourth quarter. But like we saw on Monday night, I think our defense is really going to close it out. It's going to be where, you know, Bradford's got to really start stretching the ball, really start taking some risks, really trying to get in those tight windows near the end because they're going to be down maybe 10-plus points. And our defense is going to make another big play. I expect another defensive touchdown this week. Believe me, I know it's crazy to kind of expect it almost week in and week out, but you saw you know, Peters with the pick six. He had another one early in the half that he just missed. I'm going to take a late touchdown for the Rams that's going to push this over the spread. I got the Rams covering. I hope it's a good game, but obviously with the Rams coming out on top. But I think they're going to win this double digits, and I see them covering the spread. So we'll have to find out on Sunday. Thankfully for Rams fans, we don't have to wait till Monday night at like midnight, it felt like, last game of the week. But we get this one on Sunday at 1:05. Guys, we're going to step aside for a quick break. We're going to come back, got a few more questions about this matchup, and then we'll call it a day. We'll be right back with more from Alex and Bo Brock from Locked On Cardinals. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back. This is Bear Motter of Locked On Rams. I'm with Alex and Bo from Locked On Cardinals. We're talking the matchup. We're talking about we're on two different worlds right now. I guess kind of looking long-term for the Cardinals, what is your expectation in this division? I mean, you guys won, what, 8 games last year? I mean, there's still some sort of, you know, kind of coming in this offseason. You got the big draft pick, obviously not starting him yet. But what's really the expectation as far as, you know, win-loss? 8 last year, is that right? I mean, where do you go from there?
They were 8-8. They were 7-8-1 the previous season. So mediocrity has just kind of run rampant the last couple of seasons for this team. And the expectations were about as low as they've been in probably 4 years. Obviously, it was a team in 2015 that was in the NFC Championship game. But the national media and I think the local media was starting to sober up as far as what the expectations really were. And people were saying 6 to 7 wins after the performance on Sunday. I think a lot of people maybe took a couple more wins off the board. When you look at their upcoming schedule, you've got the Rams, of course. I think you can put an L in that column. And then the Bears, I think, surprised a lot of people in 3.5 quarters on Sunday Night Football. That doesn't look as easy as it did when the schedule first came out. So you think if they continue to produce performances like Sunday, it's going to be a long season, and it's going to be about a 3 to 4 win team. So the expectations are very low. We talk about Josh Rosen. When are we going to see him? This week doesn't seem ideal to me. As you break down the Rams' defense, it's something that is not going to bode well for a rookie quarterback getting his first game time, chance to get on the field and play. Whether it's the defensive line and Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald, or it's the secondary, as you mentioned with Aqib Talib, or you know, pick your poison in the secondary. It doesn't seem like a good game for Rosen. So I do expect this offense to bounce back as far as the time of possession, but as far as them getting up and down the field, it's not ideal for them. It's going to be a long year for this team, but you have no place to go but up from the season opener. So better performance as far as the season's concerned. It's going to be a very trying season locally.
Yeah, I think I have them winning twice against San Francisco. And those are the two that I don't think Jimmy G is all that he's cut out to be yet. Another guy that, you know, it just got way too much money before he proved anything. It's going to be a tough year, and I've said this to listeners. I'm just trying to stay as positive as I possibly can. You know, and I'm trying to stay as positive as I possibly can, which, you know, is, I'm heartfelt with that, Bo.
Yeah.
You know, it's just difficult. It's difficult sometimes when you're covering trash sometimes. But we put it this way. The Cardinals are, believe it or not, way better than what we saw in Week 1. We know that. That was an abomination of sorts that nobody was expecting. Like, we were sitting in the press box. We were shocked that that's how bad they looked against a team that's the bottom 15 team in the league. We were beside ourselves, and it was like, whoa, this. Hopefully it's not like this all season. And then Sam Bradford ran out of the pocket once, and we were like, there was a gasp like we've seen Casper the Friendly Ghost. So what I do want to ask you, And real quick, when you said that people were critiquing the Rams and after a 20-point win, just wait till October 18th. That's the kickoff of LeBron and the Lakers. You guys will be secondary when that happens. So don't worry about all this critiquing now. Nobody else has anything to do in L.A. besides go to the beach. Okay? So I'm asking you, what is around your circles, what do people think of the Arizona Cardinals? Like, when you have conversations about it, it's like, oh, that's a win. Let's move on. Or are there other words spoken besides just those four?
You know, and I wish I could fight back hard on that Lakers comment, but man, the hype out here is unbelievable. I think the Rams have to do their part of having a really good winning football team to stay relevant. I mean, if this was a couple years ago and Jeff Fisher was still in town, they might try to kick us out to San Diego to get out of L.A. because there wasn't enough space with the LeBron talk. But it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of shakes out. As far as, you know, what the envision out here is for the Cardinals, I think especially now, I mean, we played you guys pretty well over the past couple of years in general. You talked about going overseas and, you know, getting the win here. I think it was in Arizona last year. And I think that as you look at the schedule and you look up and down, the Seahawks have always been one of those teams, even though now that they've, you know, we went up there and spanked them and they kind of look broken at this point, and they're literally broken. All their players continue to either get injured or leaving somewhere else. And then I'm with you. I'm not huge on Jimmy G, But I think really, unfortunately, right now, where you guys are at in this transition, new coach, new quarterback, aging Fitzgerald, you know, question marks with, you know, what's Johnson going to be in his return. I think definitely, as we look at it, you guys are near the bottom of the league, that you kind of circle two wins, you know, with the high expectations that the Rams have. And as I talked about, people sitting here almost putting them going undefeated, it's really hard. It's funny. People are like, oh, I guess I'll just give them 13 wins. It's really tough just to do that. And you're like, 13 wins? That's crazy. You know, 2 years ago, we had 4 wins. But when you look at the Cardinals, I think it's one of those teams, if we're going to be as good as we think we are, and as that defense, you know, kind of watching some of the press conferences and social media videos that came out, that defense has so much swagger. Their post-game stuff, I mean, you would have thought they just won the NFC Championship. They're so hyped up, and they believe in themselves. So if you believe in yourself that much, you have to go beat up on, you know, a Sam Bradford, like you said, when he rolls out of the pocket and you thought you saw Casper the Ghost. I'm sure when he rolls out of the pocket and he sees Aaron Donald, he's going to think he saw Casper the Ghost. So you have to win these games. And for Rams Nation, they are. I mean, not saying we're looking ahead, but people are already looking at week 3 and excited to see the Chargers come into town and, you know, put it to San Diego. There you go. They put it to them so much that they want to move to San Diego. So, yeah, I think looking at the Cardinals, you see, kind of like you said, where you're in this transition and you got a young quarterback who you can finally move forward in the next couple of years and go spend money if you're willing to, like the Rams did, and go get some veteran guys. So many people put so much into the draft these days, right? I want like the Bears and the Raiders in that trade. When have the Raiders been good at draft picks and now they just got 2 more in the first round? Like, come on. I'd rather go get a guy, pay a little bit more money, but get a guy who you know is proven. And the Rams obviously are going that route. They gave up a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks. They gave him the ball 5 times for 50-something yards. They missed him deep a couple times, but I think that's going to gel. So, yeah, expectations are that we got to go win this game. And it's our home opener. Our home opener last year, we had the Colts, and we killed them 48-something. So you expect that you get a team in here that just got, you know, beat. And you talked about it. You were shocked. I was shocked. I actually put money on my bookie for you guys to cover that spread, and real quick I learned out that I should never bet on anybody else in our division unless it was to lose. They let me down, but yeah, it's going to be a fun one to watch, and hopefully you know, we, for your guys' sake, that you can get Sam Bradford healthy, because you're right, I think he needs to stay in, you know, at least 6, 8, 9 games this season before we see Rosen, because I don't know too much about your line, but if he's your future, right, and you guys are rebuilding, you want to take care of that guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole other conversation there where it's like, we want to go to Rams fans with their experience with Jared Goff, because the first year, I mean, after the first year, a lot of people were ready to just kind of give up on the guy, and then his sophomore season was exactly what you thought you were getting out of the guy. He drafted #1 overall out of Cal, made the pick for – you made the move up the draft board to take him #1 overall, but – one question for you before we let you get out of here is, you talk about all those new pieces that you brought in. Is there any concern? I mean, I know week 1 it looked good. You ran off 20 straight points at the end of the game to kind of pull off a 33-13 win over the Raiders. But is there any concern? I mean, you talk about week 3 against the Chargers. Any concern that it's going to, at some point, you're going to see some growing pains with bringing in so many new pieces?
Yeah, I think you have to almost, you know, plan for growing pains somewhere, you know. But the thing that I think that a lot of people, you know, overlook when they're looking at the pieces, and a lot of the, you know, different people that are coming here have those history and background of, you know, challenging players, or, you know, having tantrums, or, you know, getting penalties and that type of play, is Wade Phillips. Man, this guy is just so fun to not only just listen to talk football, but he has so much command of that defense that, you know, he gets in Tlaib, who had some of his best years under Wade, and now it has put him in this role of leadership. He's a captain of the team. He's taking Peters under his wing and really kind of showing him some of those ropes, how to fit into the Wade Phillips defense. And I think that is really the mastery behind this. Obviously, you got Sean McVay and, you know, quote unquote, the offensive genius on that side. But Wade Phillips, his relaxed, you know, temper in this defense, and the way that he's been able to build those relationships so fast, I think that, yeah, there's going to be a point in the season, like most seasons for a lot of teams, is maybe you have a couple bad games or things aren't connecting the way you want them to. But again, going back to expectation and what we saw in game one when they kind of shook off the dust because they didn't play in the preseason. The defense got one or two series. Offense didn't play at all. I think once they kind of shook off that dust and finally felt comfortable, you start to see how they communicated and how they moved around. And, you know, Peter's doing what he does and going after balls and taking risks, knowing that he's got guys behind him. So it's hard. I'm really trying not to be like everybody else and say Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. But when you start to get a taste of what they can be like on defense, you know, it starts to get exciting. But they've got to do things like stop the run. We gave up 180 yards to tight end Cook last game. So I don't know how Greshman's feeling, but if I was him, I'd be getting ready this week to try to go down the middle. But there's things you got to shore up, but I love where we're starting at right now.
All right, Brad, we've taken enough abuse for one podcast. So I think that it's time to about wrap it up here. Brad, thank you so much for joining us, doing this crossover with us. At LA underscore Rambling Bear. It's a good one. Good Twitter handle. So we'll see what's going on Sunday and see who made the correct picks on my bookie.
Awesome, guys. Appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the season, and we'll see you again in some weeks down the road.
Absolutely. Take it easy, man.